We've been walking through the Psalms one at a time for 8 years. Did you realize it's been 8 years? We started in 2018, and last Sunday we reached Psalm 60. And today that means we're where? Psalm 61. I doubt we'll make it to 150, at this rate anyway, but never say never. The Psalms are extremely rich in content. And like a good old country song, you know, they just have every emotion that you can imagine. And if you only just read the Psalms, you miss a lot of those emotions. You need to feel. You need to feel what the writer was trying to say in those Psalms and what God was trying to say in those Psalms through the writer. And remember this. Each one of these psalms was what God was saying through the writer to you. Now, to us. With that in mind, here's the opening of Psalm 61. And you could read it this way. Hear my cry, O God. Or you could read it this way. Hear my cry, O God. Or you could read it this way. Help me, O Lord. I need you. You see what I mean? You need to feel what the psalmist was trying to say. In fact, we should approach the entire Bible that way. And seek to understand and appreciate and feel the deepest messages that God is sending to us through this word. It's a living word. It's not an ancient word. It's a living word. Now, this is a true confession. I'm going to say something now that, I'm going to say it. It really bothers me sometimes whenever we might be reading God's word in a responsive reading, and I pick up a sense in the room of detachment, just not there. It's like, you know, like, for instance, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Instead of the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? There, I've said it. Please forgive me if that sounds judgmental, but I am so convinced that we all need to allow the living Word of God to live in us. Okay, back to Psalm 61. What do you think God wants you and me to know through those first opening words? Hear my cry. Oh God, in part, I think he wants us to fully understand something that he says in his word over and over and over again. And that is, I listen to you when you pray to me. I hear you. I do hear you. So talk to me. At least that's part of what I think he's saying. You know, we cannot even begin to comprehend the vastness of the universe that he's created. It's just overwhelming. And we cannot begin to comprehend the greatness of his promise that I hear your prayers. I mean, that should make non-dancers want to dance. That's exciting. At least it is to me. Okay, here's more of what David prayed. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. We have absolutely no idea what was happening in David's life at that particular time to cause him to write those words. Some biblical scholars think that it was when Absalom, his son, rebelled against him, and David had to go into hiding for his life. He had to flee Jerusalem. Whatever it was, maybe it really doesn't matter, but whatever it was, What does matter is to see how this applies to you. Have you ever been overwhelmed the way David obviously was in this psalm? Have you ever been overwhelmed by something that just shattered your life? We talked about that last week in Psalm 60. I'm sure you remember it well. Think back over your life right now, your whole life. Think back over your life. Ian, you've only got 26 years to think back. Some of us take longer than that. Think back over your whole life. Is there anything in there that maybe you don't want to remember because it was just too painful and it was too upsetting? It overwhelmed you. I vividly remember when something truly awful happened to me in my life, and I'm not going to go into the details, but I remember that I cried out to God. I shouted to God. I was driving my car. I don't remember where I was going. I was all alone in my car driving somewhere. And I started shouting to God, "Oh, God, help me with this problem." It's a very painful memory. But it's also a very reassuring memory because He did help me. He heard my cry for help. And He helped me, and He turned it around. I ask you to think back over your life. Did you ever have a painful event that comes to your mind right now? And if not, perhaps you are far more blessed than your other brothers and sisters in this room. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. If you don't think of anything, but if you did think of something, let me ask you this. Did you know God when that happened to you? And if you did know God, did you reach out to Him for help? And if you did you say, "Hear my cry, O God"? Or did you plead with Him the way David pled with Him, the way I did in the car that day? Listen carefully. When the devil attacks you, he wants you to retreat from God. When the devil attacks you, he wants you to pull back from God. No. Instead, run to Him. Run to Him. And if you can't run anymore, hobble to Him. Whatever you have to do, just get to Him. Turn to God. You know this. A person can need God's help at any age, right? Almost any age. I read a very precious story about a little boy. It touched me. His daddy was in the military and away from home at the time, and that little boy kept a framed picture of his daddy on the nightstand beside his bed. And when he would go to bed, he would talk to his daddy. He felt like somehow his daddy could hear him if he talked right to that picture, and he also felt like that his daddy was watching over him somehow through that picture. Well, one night after his bedtime, he had had a really bad day. Something overwhelmed him, and he went to bed, and he started crying. And his crying got louder and louder, and his mother came in. She said, "Honey, what is it?" And he looked at her with tears flowing from his eyes, and he said, "Mommy, Mommy, I want Daddy to come out of that frame." Yeah. He wanted to be hugged by his daddy. What a beautifully honest admission that was. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like, "I just want my father to come to me"? You know God is real. And you know God loves you. And you know God sometimes feels like He's far away. And you desperately want Him to come to you. It's at times like that that you can turn to Psalm 61. And ask God what David asked Him in verse 2. lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Time and effort to make these bulletin covers make sense. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God can do that for you. Did you know that? God can do that. And not only that, God wants to do that for you. He wants to do that. I love this little quote. It's from Corrie Ten Boom, and she said, "If you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you will be depressed. If you look to God, you will be at rest. Oh, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him." The imagery of the rock in the Old Testament and the New Testament is one of the greatest comforts in the Bible. And we could go on all day long talking about it. And if you are crying out to God right now for any reason in your life, I want you to go home and I want you to spend some time this week looking through the Bible for all the references to the word rock in the Bible. Don't just look at them, but also study them. It's amazing what's there. And one of the most common symbols is that the rock represents God himself. For instance, Psalm 18, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge." We read that earlier in case it sounds familiar. Isaiah issued a warning in Isaiah 17. He said, "You have forgotten God your Savior. You have not remembered the rock." And God said this about himself in Isaiah 44. He said, "Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock." When you put all those scriptures together, they shout, God is the one place that you can stand that will not collapse. There. Take that home and live by that. God is the one place you can stand that will not collapse. Amen. Here's another biblical story that I love. Do you remember this? It's in Exodus 17. The Israelites were in the wilderness and they were desperate for water. And God told Moses to use his staff and hit the rock. And water came out of the rock. It was life-giving water came flowing out of that rock. It was a miracle. And I want you to go home and I want you to look in through your Bible for references to the rock. And I want you to pay attention to that particular one because God in the scriptures gives us a definition of that. This is from Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. He said, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink." Here it comes. "For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is your rock, and he is always there. Don't you ever doubt it. And he tells us that the wise man builds his house on the rock. The Apostle Paul said the church itself is built on the rock that is Jesus Christ. We sang about that. But in Psalm 61, David said this, "Lord, I cannot get to that rock without your help. So please, God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Do that yourself. Do it. Do what? Admit it. You need God. You can't handle it all yourself. And after all that, David then turns a corner in this psalm And he shifts his attitude. I love this. And we all need to do this. We all need to do what David did here. Listen to David's very poetic statement in verse 4 when he says this to God. He says, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. What was he saying? He was saying, oh Lord, I want to be close to you. I want you to be close to me. I want to feel you. Help me. Be present. May I be with you. May you be with me. I want to feel you, Lord. I grew up in a family. Well, I should stop there. I grew up. I grew up in a family and in a church and in a worship tradition that focused on knowing God with your mind. Feeling God was for other people. And you know what? I think some of you did too. My experience was in a Presbyterian church, and I thank God for it because it was a great experience. It was a great experience. We sought to know God and to love God and to serve God by studying Him. And one of the things that we worshiped was theology. And that word itself comes from two Greek words. It comes from the word theos, which means God, and the word logos, which means word. Presbyterians tend to be very proud of their seminaries, and they should be. They're good. They're wonderful. And because of that, there's a very high view of scriptures with lots of emphasis on doctrine. The main purpose for going to church on Sunday is the sermon. And the rest of it was considered the preliminaries until you got to the meat. Now, please understand me, there's a lot of value in that, but I wish more Christians had the solid roots that I enjoyed in that environment. But even more, and you can imagine where I'm going with this. I wish that all Christians could understand what I learned. I was missing the fullness of God. I was missing Him. Heart, soul, mind, strength. I did not understand the riches of God. He was high and lifted up, far out of my reach. And that's definitely not where God wants to remain. He wants to be close to you. He wants you to be close to Him. He wants you to feel Him. Feel God. That's the worship part of what we do here on Sundays. That's the worship part. And it doesn't diminish. It does not diminish your feelings of awe for who He is. In fact, it enhances your sense of awe in who He is. God told Jeremiah this. He said, you will seek me and you will find me. Listen, when you seek me with all your heart. He did not say, with all your mind. Are you listening? In Psalm 61 and in many other passages, David was a man who moved from head knowledge to heart knowledge of God. And Psalm 61:4 is a great example of David's shift in attitude here when it says, I long to dwell in your tent forever and to take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Now, God doesn't live in a tent, of course. That's poetic language. And as far as we know, He doesn't have wings either. We don't really know for sure, but as far as we know, but David captured something in those words that we need to embrace God is closer than we can ever imagine, and he wants to cover you with his love like a warm blanket. That's why I often pray, Holy Spirit of God, shower us. Shower us with your love. Cover us. The devil wants you to linger outside the tent. He does not want you to get into the nest. Think about that. Let me share something with you. Every day before I get out of bed, I have a prayer time. Every Sunday before I get out of bed, in my prayer time, I pray for you. Every Sunday. And I pray for our worship service every Sunday. And every time I do, I pray that God's Holy Spirit will bathe this congregation and draw us closer to him, closer than we have ever known before. Thank you for shaking your head. I appreciate that. That warmed my heart. And I pray that your response to God would be free and sincere and open and reverent. I want you to be more blessed than you've ever been in your life by worshiping here at Covenant Fellowship. God ain't finished with us yet. Now, as David closes this psalm, he does it with faith. He places his very life into God's hands. And he makes several requests of himself as the king, starting in verse 6, where he prays, and I'm going to read it in the first person. Lord, increase the days of my life. Increase the days of my years for many generations. May I be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect me. And then he finally closes with this. Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day. In just 8 verses in this short psalm, David moves from being overwhelmed by the posture of praise and worship to pouring himself out to God, yielding himself to God. And here's what we need to hear. When you draw close to God, your fear turns into song and your worry turns into worship. May God remove every storm in your life. And may he remain your rock, no matter what's going on, the rock that is higher than you are. Your job is to stand on that rock and open yourself up to him, overwhelmed by his presence, not by your problems, but by his awesome presence in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all of these reminders of who you are and who you want to be in our lives. And Lord, may we never, ever again be detached from your living word, but may we embrace it and live it and rejoice in it and stand upon it. For the sake and the glory of the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.